Blog Talk Radio.
Take you down into the fire, your eyes flashed at me from across the room. What's the matter, baby? It's not so easy to be bold with my breath in your ear. My hand finally curved round your hip. My teeth and my passion, they wanna grab hold of your flesh and bring on the sweet rain that's boiling under your skin. I'm gonna fill up empty places inside of you that haven't even been named. Fill you up until you spill over me in a blue-white wave of wet and wanting. I could take you right here in this room with all of these people watching and wishing they were you or me or just some part of the magic we're gonna make. Take you right here on the floor, leaning up against the wall, draped over a table. Oh, you go ahead, baby. Let those tears well up. I know you're a little scared of the blaze that's building, but I won't let it burn you much.
You make me crazy.
You make me crazy.
You make me crazy.
Taste it, baby.
You make me cry.
Yes, thank you guys for joining us for another episode of G-Spot. Jalen, are you with us tonight?
I surely am.
Okay. I had to make sure I say good evening, guys, because Jalen's been messing with me all week long, since I always like to say good afternoon. So, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is your host, Nike and Jalen, and we're on for another episode of G-Spot. Like to say thank you guys for tuning in to listen to us. The lovely lady that opened for us tonight was Nedra Johnson, and that was a nice jazzy spot. I liked it, especially when she started reciting her poetry. I was like, okay, I'm feeling that. If you're looking to get in contact with her at myspace.com/Nedra, N-E-D-R-A, and you can get in contact with her there. Tonight, we are talking about myths and assumptions about the LGBT community. But first, Jalen, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing just lovely. Thank you so much for asking. How are you, Nike?
You know, it's just something about Jalen that makes me want to choke her sometimes. But I'm doing just great. I'm doing just great. Oh, goodness, I'm doing real good. Happy that we get to come on. For those of you that sent in your comments through our email, I want to say thank you. If you guys want to call into the show tonight, then, of course, as always, the number is 646-378-1835. Definitely call in. If you call in, please listen and pay attention because we'll call out the last three digits of your telephone number. So that's how you'll know that we're talking to you. So if you're like me, I had to say my full, you know, telephone number and then get the last three digits, and I was like, oh, okay, that's me. So I'll call out the last three digits of your telephone number, and that's how you know we're talking to you and you're live on the air. Jalen?
Yeah, I just wanted to send a shout-out to the ladies at Pow Wow. They have been really supportive of me. For those of you who are not in the Chicago area, Pow Wow is an organization run by a crew of women here in Chicago, and it is lesbian. It's run by lesbians, and it's open mic poetry every Tuesday night. It's such an awesome event to be at, and I just want to send a shout out to those ladies because they show me a lot of support, as well as they give a lot of support to the radio show. So what's up, Pow Wow?
That's what's up. What's up, Pow Wow ladies? Thank you guys for supporting us. But Jalen, that shout out right there, you know, we charge for that. So I'm just saying, I let you get away with that one for free. But any further advertising, please send it to marketing@gspotradioshow.com. But I'm going to let you get away with that. But tonight, ladies and gentlemen, we are talking about myths and assumptions about the LGBT community. If you're listening into the show, if you're called in, I hope you want to leave comments. If you want to listen to it on a computer, you know, you can go to blogtalkradio.com/spokenchaos, SpokenChaos. And if you have iTunes, you know, everybody's down with Apple these days. If you have an iPod, you can get it, get the podcast directly to your iPod. We're going to go ahead and jump directly into the show. And I'm going to open it up. And one of the biggest myths or assumptions about the LGBT community is that being gay is contagious. But there's a lot of people say that if you're gay, then a lot of your friends are gay. But in actuality, most LGBT individuals were raised by straight parents, and sexual orientation is most likely determined by genetics. And just so you know, if you're wondering what we are, where we're getting this information from today, this was compiled by Dr. Carmen Cruz and Courtney Arbelay of the TWU Counseling Center. So this is actually compiled by two doctors that put this information together. And so we're giving you their myths, and we're reading to you what their professional opinions of these myths are. So once again, being gay is contagious, and what they say is that most LGBT individuals were raised by straight parents, and sexual orientation is most likely determined by genetics. Jalen?
Yeah, I'm here. I think that's interesting that people would even think that being gay is contagious. Like, okay, so when I began teaching, if I sneeze in front of all of the kids that I teach, then they're all going to be gay, like, for real, you know. I think that's such an asinine assumption. But
well, you used the Vic word, asinine.
That is not a big word.
I know. Look it up, guys, if you don't know what it is, dictionary.com, asinine. Okay, go ahead.
Yes. But now, one of the things that they said, that sexual orientation is most likely determined by genetics, I think that's kind of funny, because I know a lot of people that would disagree with that. As a matter of fact, we've got a show topic that's coming up where we talk about how a lot of lesbians were sexually abused in their youth, and how that sometimes serves as a direct relation to their sexual orientation. So I think that the sexual orientation being determined by genetics, and it's kind of iffy, but we know that it's not contagious, because if it was, oh man, that would be up. I would be sneezing and coughing on my.
I think that one of the reasons why they say that being gay is contagious, because you'll find a lot of, I think that's more so with a lot of our younger generation. You get a lot of young girls where, you know, fads come in and out, and at one point it was not in to be gay, you know, and then it came back around, and I remember when I was in school, it was not in to be gay. We were like in the closet sort of looking and sneaking and feeling and touching on each other and then janitor closet and stuff. But then I noticed that, like, as I was going into college, that's when I started sort of noticing that the trend was, it was sort of changing. It was like, it was in to be young and gay. And I think that sometimes with a lot of young people, they do what their friends do. And so I think that being gay contagious is definitely not, I don't think it's an older thing, but I think it's a younger thing. You are what your friends are and who you hang around. And so those are the ones that, you know, sort of flip-flop back and forth. That's my opinion on that.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. Because oftentimes you have parents that say, I don't want you hanging around, don't, so because they're gay, because they have that assumption that, mm-hmm. you know, gayness is contagious. But it's more so like birds of a feather flock together.
Mm-hmm.
However, I don't think that just because you have a big crew of straight friends, then a big crew of gay friends, that means that you're going to be gay. No.
Absolutely.
All right.
Absolutely.
Well, if you listeners have any comments on that topic, make sure you give us a call. Also, if you come to the site of the show, you can join the chat room, and we try to, you know, make it kind of live for you all. So hopefully you all come through and chat with us while we do the show. The next topic that we're going to do, the next assumption or myth, is gay people recruit others to be gay. And the response by the doctors is sexual orientation cannot be changed. Gay people are attracted to other gays. This myth may come from the fact that many gay people don't come out until they are older, when they meet someone to whom they are attracted. This doesn't mean that they weren't gay before, just that they hadn't come out yet. Gay people do not usually sexually stalk straight individuals for casual sex.
I'm laughing because it didn't. I don't believe the doctor said usually, but I think that's something that Jalen decided to add in. I'm not mad at that, because I do know some gay people that like to date straight chicks. But anywho, I like that answer. Sexual orientation can't be changed. I feel like that's up for myth. Actually, you know what I feel like? I feel like the doctors just contradicted themselves. And the reason why I say that is because ahead of the time, they said that sexual orientation is most likely determined by genetics, but then they said that sexual orientation can't be changed. So if you were to be a gay female and then go have a sex change operation to become a full male, now you're a male and you're dating women, so you're determined heterosexual. So sexual orientation could be changed, or is the genetics still labeling you who you are? You understand what I'm saying, Jay?
I definitely understand what you're saying, yeah. Okay. And I wonder if these doctors that wrote this are gay, because they say that gay people are attracted to other gays. I think that's some bullshit, Nike.
Well, hold on. No, you know what I think? I think they're talking about the gaydar. You know what I'm saying? I don't know. That is something. I may want to email them. Like I said, the doctor's names was Dr. Carmen Cruz and Courtney Aberle, A-B-E-R-L-E. That is something, you know, to say that gay women, you know, gay people are attracted to other gay people, I think that's on point because we have that gaydar. I was talking to this straight girl at my job, and she's like, well, how do you just know somebody's gay? And I'm like, I don't know. It's just something about, you know, my gaydar goes off. It's like, beep, 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 beep. There you go. And you sort of know who's gay. A lot of the times, without them even saying anything, it's just something in that I, you know, you make eye contact with them, or if they just might have a swagger about themselves. But I definitely know that gay people don't recruit others to be gay. I definitely agree with the answer as far as it's concerned.
Okay.
Moving on to the next one, it says that, it says that there are specific gender roles in gay relationships. And their response was, there are a variety of forms of gay relationships, just as heterosexual relationships. Sometimes there may be specific roles for each person. Sometimes these roles are very flexible. Original butch femme roles may have come from imitating heterosexual roles. And I do agree that there's specific roles within gay relationships, just not specific gender roles within a relationship, unless they're just saying that gender roles as in there's a guy and there's a girl of each relationship. If you listen to our last show where we were talking about defining lesbian roles and categories, we learned that there are sort of specific gender roles. So I do sort of agree that there are specific gender roles within gay relationships. So I sort of agree with the answer, but not a lot, especially not when it says that that sometimes these roles are very flexible. I wouldn't necessarily agree with that because you couldn't really agree with our last show and agree with them really being very flexible, because a lot of times you find gay women, especially within the black community, are not that very flexible. You have your femmes, you have your studs, and that's the way it is. They're not very flexible at all.
Damn skipping. I'm one of those people who I don't like that flip flop, you know, thing. But, you know, to each his own. And I think sometimes what goes forth in black lesbian relationships, it's a lot different than in other ethnicities, you know, lesbian relationships. I think black people so often feel the stigma of being black, being a woman, and being a lesbian until they try to seek some type of categorical placement to make themselves feel a little bit more comfortable, you know, a little bit more comfortable in that lifestyle. But I don't think that that's applicable to other ethnicities, you know. As we said before, you know, sometimes you'll go somewhere in a white neighborhood and you'll see two butches mushing and kissing and rubbing, and it's like, oh, you know, black lesbians may say, oh, that's gay as hell, you know. But, you know, I don't, as far as this myth is concerned, I agree that there's a variety of gay relationships. You know, just like in some heterosexual relationships, you see a woman whose voice is about 10 octaves deeper than her husband's, and her husband is the one who does the hair of their little girls.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely.
So, yeah. I'm going to go ahead and transition into this next one. It says, gay men want to look like women and lesbians want to look like men. And the response is, some gay men do enjoy wearing women's clothes, but most don't. Most conform to cultural expectations for men's dress. Lesbians usually do not want to look like men. Your choice of dress is more often determined by comfort and possibly by rebelling against stereotyped ideas of what women should look like. Some lesbians enjoy dressing very femininely. Nike, what do you think about that?
I think that to an extent, I think that when you start getting into a lot of the transgender, you know, when you start getting into a lot of the cross-dressing, that's when you start getting into the, you know, transsexuals and such. I think that I do think that certain gay men do want to look like women and certain lesbians do want to look like men. I think that it can go to either end of the spectrum as far as those men that feel like they were. I think that when you're talking about our community, you have some men that are some women, some people within our community that feels that they are not within their correct body, which is the ones that I said I feel like those people have a gender identity issue, and that means that, you know what I'm saying, they really basically, I don't feel like they fit within the community. I feel like they should have their own label. So there are some gay men and gay women that want to look like the opposite sex, but it's not because they don't want to look like themselves, but more so because they don't feel like that's who they are. So I guess I do agree with that, the statement or the myth or assumption to an extent. It's just that on a whole, I don't feel that gay men want to look like women and all lesbians want to look like men. I think that the problem is that it gets grouped too often. I think that lesbians, I think it's more so of a definitely of who you love and what you're comfortable dressing with. I know some of my friends that dress like the prom, you know, prom queen, to some of my, you know, female friends that dress totally butch, or, you know, some of my female friends, you know, they shop in the men's room and everything. But I don't feel like that is the same all across the board. I feel like a lot of those, sometimes you do have, you know, you have those that feel like, you know, they are opposite.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I agree with what was said about your choice of dress is more often determined by comfort and possibly by rebelling against stereotyped ideas of what women should look like. I know a lot of people that when they came into the life, including myself, it was more so about looking the way you thought would make you the most recognizable.
Uh-huh.
But as time went on, a lot of lesbians, like, you know, studs and butches, become more comfortable with that dress, you know, primarily because it's looser and it's more casual. Everybody knows men's clothes are more comfortable than women's clothes. And so, yeah, you would know, seeing as though you have my shirts that I left in Florida. Yeah,
you don't have to tell all the business. Yes,
listeners, let me tell you what Nike did. I'm sorry to get off subject, but I went down to Florida for my birthday to visit her, and I left some T-shirts, some wife beaters, some tank tops down there. This little lady was supposed to mail them back. Well, yeah, she was supposed to mail them to me. They were new. And instead of her mailing them back, she's been wearing them to sleep. not because she wants to be closer to me, but because
you need to stop.
Yeah.
You know what? She is so wrong. Yes, she came from Chicago to visit me for her birthday down here in Florida. And she went shopping. She bought some nice tank tops. And, you know, I couldn't figure out who they were. So I looked at them and I'm like, you know, they felt nice. And they was all thick. And I tried one on, you know, and you know, I'm a little bit feminine and a whole lot feminine, actually. And
mm-hmm.
she had these nice little wife beaters. And I tried it on and it fit me all cute and sexy. And I was like, ooh, I like this. So, yeah, absolutely. I sort of, you know, I like wearing those to sleep. They fit me nice. So I say, thank you, you know. Thank you for looking out for me. But that's what friends do. Real friends don't mail each other stuff back. So what? I look like mailing it back to you. But anyway, jumping back on, on topic. We're going to jump back on topic. Because we definitely want to make sure that we can give this all to you tonight. And the next one says, gay people could change if they want to. Research has repeatedly shown this is not true, that sexual orientation is something we are born with. Examples of people who claim to have changed their orientation usually indicate someone who has changed their behavior in response to internal or external pressure to be heterosexual. This is often at great cost to self because basic feelings have changed. Sexual orientation emerges for most people in early adolescence without any prior sexual experience. And some people report trying over many years to change their sexual orientation from homosexual to heterosexual with no success. For these reasons, psychologists don't consider sexual orientation for most people to be a conscious choice that can be voluntarily changed. The American Psychological Association has made several official statements that conversion therapy is unethical. Did you get all of that, Jay?
Yeah, I got all of that. I got all of that. I really, man, that was a lot.
It was.
That was a whole lot. I don't think that, here's the thing. I don't think that by saying gay people could change if they want to, I don't think that's really addressing their sexuality as much as it is addressing their decision to be who they are. You know what I mean? Like, you can say, okay, I'm not going to date women anymore because I don't like, you know, whatever the consequences are. But that doesn't change your sexual orientation. Okay, by saying that gay people can change if they want to, they might be able to change the people that they date, but are they going to change who makes them happy? No. You know, and I think that's a very big misconception that people who are not familiar with the lifestyle that they make. As the doctors said, sexual orientation emerges for most people in early adolescence without any prior sexual experience. And so for that, it's not, you know, really like you're changing from heterosexual into homosexual, but as you go into your, as your sexuality develops, it goes from non-existent to homosexual. You see what I'm saying?
Absolutely. I certainly agree with you. And I mean, I think in addition to that, I'm going to make this quick before we go on to our break. In addition to that, I also feel that, I mean, just I think that this is a big problem is that a lot of the people think that it can be changed. But the problem is if it could be changed, then you wouldn't have so many people that try repeatedly to change. And I live in Florida, and there is this one street, and I believe it's Orange Blossom Trail is the name of the street in Orlando, Florida. And there's this gay club called the Parliament House. a few, you know, slides down from the slaughterhouse, you'll start finding these big billboards that's talking about, you know, people that change from homosexuality through therapy and people that, you know, got their stuff together and they're no longer gay. I don't feel like you can do that. I think that it's just like when they say that, it's just basically saying, you know, if you're young and you haven't ever been with a man or woman, they consider you heterosexual. I think that if you're homosexual, that's who you are. It's not about sex for either. If you're heterosexual, you're attracted to the opposite sex, and that's not doesn't have anything to do with sex in itself, but just basic attraction. If you're homosexual, it doesn't have anything to do with sex, but just basic attraction. You may limit who you're attracted to, but you can't stop it. I do know a lot of people, and there's a lot of groups that say, you know, we can change you, we can convert, we've successfully converted, but at the end of the day, I feel like those people don't necessarily convert and stop being attracted to the same sex. It just means that they no longer act on it. And that's what I feel about the subject. I don't think that people could change if they want to. And you know, I think that this is a topic that could really make me go off on a tangent, so I'm going to try not to. But for those people that say gay people could change if they want to, it sort of takes away from who we are, because I feel like if I had a choice to be gay, I wouldn't choose to go through all of the things that we go through as gay women and men. I don't feel that people would decide that this is a life that they wanted to live in. They wouldn't want to be discriminated against and stereotyped. They wouldn't want to receive all of the hate and unequal treatment, just, you know, to be gay. I think that if people could change themselves, a lot of people could because that's something that's forced upon us. Change is forced upon us. You could change who you were if you really wanted to. You don't have to be that way. And that's what happens to a lot of people when they come up to their family and their friends. They're made to feel like, you know, it's something that they don't necessarily have to do. And that's not the case. If you're straight and you're listening, then I think you really need to reevaluate yourself, because it's not something that someone can change. The same way you can't change yourself from being straight to be gay, don't expect another gay person to change themselves from being gay to all of a sudden being straight. Anywho, therefore, I digress and bring it back down. Oosah, I'm checking my temples, and you know what? It's about time for us to go to break, because I'm finished breaking for the moment. tonight, ladies and gentlemen, we are talking about myths and assumptions about the LGBT community. I want to say thank you guys for joining in. If you're hearing something, you want to talk about it, you can certainly get at us at gspotradioshow@gmail.com. You can check us on myspace.com/gspotradioshow. Or, hey, if you got the guts to, you can give us a call in at 646-378-1835. Now, tonight, we opened with an artist by the name of Nedra Johnson. You can catch her at myspace.com/Nedra, or you can actually go to her webpage, and her website is www.nedrajohnson.com. So I definitely would like, you know, for you guys to check out this lady, because, hey, we're here for you, and we thank you guys for giving your information, you know, sending your information into us, and we definitely want to continue featuring you. So we're going to take a short break. I want you guys to listen to the music and definitely give us a call back. All right? Guys, enjoy yourselves.
You know, there's many religions in the world, and people call on God in all kinds of different ways. And I believe it's by the intentions of your heart. God will hear your call. So all you gotta do is call. In any way you need God, I believe in my heart God will come.
Any way you need her, she will come.
Yeah.
Any way you need her, she will come.
Oh yeah, by the intentions of your heart, know that you can call on God. And any way you need her, she will come. That's why I say Jesus is a lesbian. And any way you need her, she will come. waiting for you to see the light. You got to be male, long blonde hair and white. Sing hallelujah, I know she'll come.
Any way you need her, she will come.
Hey, yeah.
Any way you need her, she will come.
By the intentions of your heart, know that you can call on God. And any way you need her, she will come. Come on, big bro, tell them what you know. Jesus is a fierce gay man. And anytime you can't, I know he can. But if for you to see the light, you gotta be asexual and white. Hallelujah, hallelujah, he will come.
Any way you need her, she will come.
She, 'cause she might be what I need.
Any
when I need
her. Any way you need her, she will come.
I know she'll come. By the intentions of your heart, for you can always count on God. And
any way you need her, she will come.
Mm-hmm, Jesus, is a lesbian. And any way you need her, she will come. Now it's for you to see the light. She got to be a crunchy granola dyke, Birkenstocks and all. I know the Lord will come.
Any way you need her, she will come.
You see, the Bible says that Jesus
any
had dark complexion
her,
and hair like a lamb's wool. But we see images like Da Vinci's Last Supper, the Sistine Chapel,
any
even the Illustrated
her,
Bible, and that's not how they portray him. So we can follow the lead of mainstream Christianity and visualize God in the way we need to see God. So if for you to see the light, you got to be male, long blonde hair and white. Sing hallelujah,
I know she'll
come.
Any way you need her, she will come.
Well, she will come.
Any way you need her, she will come.
I know she'll come. By the intentions of your heart, know that you can call on God. And
any way you need her, she will come.
Any way you need her, she will come. Come on now. Well.
Okay, guys, thank you very much for joining us back after our show. This is your host, Nike and Jalen, and we want to say thank you guys for joining us. You got to excuse me, but that was just Nedra Johnson, and that was hilarious. I don't know if you guys caught it, but when they said crunchy, crunchy granola dyke. Like, okay, that's deep. That is so funny. Any way you need her, she will come. Oh, that was amazing. Nedra Johnson, you are fabulous, girl. If you guys want to know how to get in touch with Nedra, you can go to her website, which is www.nedrajohnson.com. That's NedraJohnson.com. Or you can catch her at myspace.com/Nedra, NEDRA. Tonight we are talking about myths and assumptions within, or about the, not within, but about the LGBT community. I say thank you guys for joining us. If you ran into some myths or assumptions or stereotypes, and you want us to talk about them, give us a call at 646-378-1835. Or if you want to email us, you can always email us at gspotradioshow@gmail.com. And then in addition to that, we also have MySpace page, G-Spot Radio Show. And you can subscribe to us on iTunes. If you want to get, you know, have a podcast set up to come to you directly on iTunes, all you have to do is put in, you can actually put in Nike, N-Y-K-I, and it'll pull up the podcast for Spoken Chaos, and that'll automatically start going directly to your iPod or anything else. So we definitely appreciate you guys supporting us. This is G-Spot. We are live each and every single Thursday. This is, you know, we're definitely here for you. So we want you guys to show us some love because we definitely giving you a whole lot of love. And we're going to jump straight into the rest of the myths and assumptions about the LGBT community. Jalen?
All right. The next assumption is that therapy could cure homosexuality. Their response to it is treatments that claim to cure homosexuality are just successful in coercing heterosexual behavior. You cannot change a person's inner feelings about their basic orientation. Nike, tell me your thoughts on that.
I agree. I don't think that, I mean, that's just, to me, actually, they could have left that out altogether because it was just a continuation of what we just said, what gay people can change. I do not feel like therapy can change homosexuality. It's just, you know what, that's what you think, just get over it. I'm not going to go back on my tangent. So.
Please don't. Please don't.
Yeah.
Please don't. I think, though, that this is really important to, you know, make known to straight people. I know, like, I've known of certain people that when they came out to their parents, perfect example, there was a guy on The Real World a couple of seasons ago. Like, yeah, it was a while ago. But when he came out to his mom sent him to, like, a psychiatrist or a psychologist, as well as their pastor, to get counseling for his homosexuality, as if, you know, if he talked to a pastor or a priest, God forbid, long enough, then he might actually like women, you know. And it's a shame that, you know, people think that, but like you said, it kind of goes into the last topic that people can change their homosexuality.
Absolutely. It's not something that's going to change, but I'm going to skip that and go into our next topic. I'm going into the next assumption. And this is sort of serious. As we said, we are going to have a future on this. And I really, really, you know, I really urge my sisters to call in about, you know, call in to make your comments and to email us your comments about the next show. And the assumption is people are gay because they were sexually abused. And the reason why I say, before I read their response to that, the reason why I say I really want my sisters to call in on that is because that is a deep topic. When I could say that if I have 10 friends, then 8 out of my 10 friends were sexually abused. 8 out of 10, that's a very, very strong number. And it's not, you know, it's not a guess, but it is definitely a fact. And it is definitely a touchy topic when you're talking about, are you gay because you were sexually abused? Some people say yes. Some people say no, but I definitely want to hear your thoughts. I don't want to hear people talking about it that may have not experienced it, but I want to hear people talking about it that's actually sort of been through it. And I do have a few psychologists that I'm actually going to reach out to and invite them to be a guest of the show. I know our show is sort of late on the East Coast. It's 10 p.m. Eastern Standard, 9 p.m. Central, but we are going to try and reach out to some colleges to have them call in. But I would like for you guys to start emailing us now to put your information out there at gspotradioshow@gmail.com. So it's gspotradioshow@gmail.com. And once again, it says, people are gay because they were sexually abused. And the response is, most people who were sexually abused do not take on a gay identity. Gay and lesbian people, just as heterosexuals, may have been abused, but this has no relation to their sexual orientation. Straight women who have been sexually abused by men may have difficulty relating to men, but this does not mean they are lesbians. Jalen?
I think that myth is just some straight-up baby back bullshit because, you know, I don't think, okay, I don't think that a lot of, like, okay, I understand that 80% of your crew have been, you know, sexually abused, but I don't think that that, I don't think that that leads to homosexuality. And I say that because, you know, I mean, I know a lot of people who have told me that they weren't sexually abused and they are gay, you know. And that's not to say that, you know, that's not to say that, you know, it's not a direct correlation, like it's not related. But I just, I think that, you know, sexual abuse is very prominent in certain socioeconomic statuses. And because of that, you know, certain groups may have that in common. But I don't think that, you know, you can, I don't think that the point could be proven that most women who, or a large portion of women that are sexually abused decide to be gay. That's something that I disagree
with. So you said that you think that it's more prominent in depending upon your socioeconomic status, right?
Yes, yes.
Okay, so, for example, are you saying based on class?
Not just class, but, you know, your social status, your economic status. Class is included in that, but it's not limited, you know. Right. It's not just limited to that. But I think that sometimes that does play a role, because if you have people who are kind of brought up in, you know, either lower class or middle class, when I say class, I'm also referring to economic status.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes they experience things that others might not experience because of the desperation and the disparity that comes along with being poor.
Right.
Okay.
Interesting. I'm not going to touch too much on this topic. Like I said, I'm going to leave this topic for show that we're going to have on it. I have a lot to say about it, and this one show don't have enough to put everything I have to say in. So, Jalen, go ahead and go in.
All right. The next topic says that gay persons sexually molest children, okay? And the response is approximately 95% of child molesters are heterosexual men. A molester who abuses boys is not usually gay. Many will abuse children of either gender. And I think that it's really important that, you know, they said this, because child molestation is not so much because of the gender of the child as much as it is that adult, or, you know, that older person feels in control, and they know that they can prey on a child because they're vulnerable. And oftentimes gay men who molest young gay boys, they do that because they have more access to gay boys. You know, everybody knows, okay, don't leave your daughter around Uncle Johnny, because Uncle Johnny has a bad, you know, sense of judgment. And so they don't leave their girls around. But they might leave their boys. They're a lot more likely to leave their boys around, you know. And that also extends to the fact that, you know, you've got absentee fathers, because a lot of women want their boys to be around some other male because they need a male role model. And so they end up getting around Uncle Johnny, and Uncle Johnny has a problem. So, Nike, what do you think about that?
I absolutely do not agree with this, actually, you know, in saying that, I mean, the assumption, I don't agree with the assumption. It is very correct when it says that 95% of molesters are heterosexual men. So what I want you guys to really think about and to know is your uncle, your cousin, your daddy, your brother, your boyfriend, those are the men that are molesting your daughters. When you have that man that you feel like it's okay, you're comfortable with him, you really love him, and you're running to the store, just think that while you're running to the store, he may be at home touching your daughter, that cousin, that uncle, that brother. They may be at home molesting your brothers, your sisters, your nieces. And I think that if a lot of women got that through their head, and women happen to be very emotional creatures, and they feel like if they can emotionally trust somebody, then that means that that's who that person are. People lead you to believe who it is that they want you to believe. But I personally feel like it is time to stop being naive, and it is time to open our eyes. It is time to wake up. It is time to stop pretending that these people are not touching and molesting our relatives and our friends, our daughters, our children. No, it's not just homosexuals. What you will find is a lot of times there are some gay men that have sex with younger gay boys. You'll find that mostly within the, when you're talking about males, yes, that mostly happens. But the majority, 95%, and if you're talking about 8 out of 10 women being molested, 95% out of 8 out of 10 is a total of 7 out of 10 women are being molested by heterosexual males. So if you guys open up your eyes and stop putting it past and stop being blindsided and stop saying it's not happening, and I think that it's not even more so of you guys saying it's not happening, but just not opening your eyes to realize that it is happening. If you realize that it is happening, you won't be so dumb and so naive, and it won't continue happening towards our children that's coming up.
Also, it should be said that, you know, rape is a vicious cycle, you know. And, you know, I did the comparison with Uncle Johnny, but 9 times out of 10, Uncle Johnny was raped when he was a kid, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what he knows, so that's what he does. And, you know, when we see examples of this, then, hey, you know, we've got to address it. You know, and not just live in denial, but we actually got to address it. Otherwise, the cycle is gonna continue.
Mhm. Absolutely. It is something that you have to address. And you know, that anytime we start talking about children and we start talking about abuse, it's something that I automatically get very passionate about. But what I want to say is that we have some callers on the line. Callers, I see you guys, and I appreciate you all for calling in. I'm going to call the last 3 digits of your number. When I call the last 3 digits of your number, that means you're live and on the air. If you are just listening to the show and I call your number, just say, I'm a listener of G-Spot, and I'll go on to the next caller. So if I call out the last 3 digits of your number, and, you know, you're listening, then, you know, you're just listening, then all I want you to say is that I'm a listener at G-Spot, and I'm going to go on to the next caller. But if I call the last 3 digits of your number and you have something to say, then please state your comments, okay? And once we get through with that, we're going to follow up with the closing of our show. We only have 6 minutes remaining. But, once again, G-Spot airs every single Thursday night at 10 p.m. Eastern and 9 p.m. Central. So we want you guys to call us, email us, go to our MySpace page, add us. Definitely. Any way you can get in contact with us, do it, because we're here all the way just for you guys. And we want to say thank you to Nedra Johnson for allowing us to feature her music tonight. She's such a wonderful lady, and her music is really amazing. So you got to go to NedraJohnson.com, or you have to definitely go to MySpace.com/Nedra to listen to her. So I'm going to go ahead and jump to caller 106. Caller 106, you're live. You're live. Hello? Caller 106? Okay, so.
Okay, wait. I'm here. I'm sorry. I'm here. I just wanted to make a comment towards what you were just talking about, because I feel like it has nothing to do with whether someone is gay or heterosexual or whatever their sexual orientation is. A lot of times, majority of the time, people abuse kids because that's something that they experienced when they were children, which has nothing to do with if they love to be with men, if they love to be with women, or whatever the case may be. It's because they were abused, so they tend to repeat the patterns that were done to them.
Absolutely. I certainly agree with you, caller 106. I do agree that it is a pattern that continues, and it's a pattern that will continue until people begin speaking up enough to break that pattern. And until then, it is something that we will continue to have to deal with within our community. So, caller 106, I definitely thank you for calling in to the show tonight. Okay, you have
thank
a great
you.
Night. Okay, so the next caller that I see that's on, it's caller 056. Caller number 356, you are live.
Yo, what's up, Nike?
How
what's
you
up,
doing? Man? What's up? This is my girl, Anad.
Chilling, man.
How you doing tonight? Thank
I'm
you for calling.
Man.
You guys don't know. This is the next up-and-coming Timberland, okay? She's going to knock y'all out. This is one of our beat producers. Her name is Anad, and you guys have to look out for her because she's going to be ready to blow y'all up. For all you artists out there looking for beats, you got to get in touch with G-Spot Radio Show so that we can put you in touch with Anad. She's going to lay your tracks down. How you doing tonight, Anad?
I'm good, man. How you doing?
I'm doing just wonderful.
Good. The show is excellent, yo. It's peace. Yo, I'm going to go back to the to one of the questions or actually statements that one of the doctors said about, like, our sexuality, about being gay.
Mm-hmm.
I was listening to this lecture that had Angela Davis, Dr. Takufi Zubri, and Mary Frances Berry. Mary Frances Berry, she's an author and a civil rights activist, and she sits on the Civil Rights Commission. And she actually authored a book by the name of, Pig Farmer's Daughter.
Yeah.
And it actually talks about our sexuality, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And they broke it down back during slavery about our sexuality and how it played a major role in forming racism. But before we go into the racism part, it's during where slavery that, you know, black women was unrapeable. They were considered unrapeable because a black woman was a thing. She was property, and she wasn't considered a person.
Mm.
Okay? And since she was considered property, there was no law. Say, okay, if you rape this woman, you know, you'll get this repercussion or this penalty. There was none. So during emancipation, or if you even look at sexuality, what Angela Davis said is that freedom is indivisible, okay, no matter the person's ethnic, racial, or sexual orientation background. So during this emancipation, it was really, you know, the emancipation of who we choose to want to sleep with.
Mm.
So it's like social historical role of sexuality that even formed the racism.
Right, I agree with that.
Okay, as well as us as black women having a choice of who we want to be with and who we want to be with. Okay? So if we look at the behavioral and cultural and psychological traits associated with a particular, like, say, area we grew up in, you know, a lesbian has that choice. You know, it's all these different factors that comes in us and that comes to us and say, okay, who are we? You know, it's not a choice. I do believe it's genetics because I knew it all my life. But listening to, what's up?
You hear me?
Yo.
Hold on. Let me ask you, are you willing for us to be able to call you with the next show so we can continue this conversation?
Yo, man, you're about to go off, no doubt.
Yeah,
you got my number.
The show is ending, and we got 15 seconds left. And the show is
cool.
But Anad, next Thursday, blogtalkradio.com/spokenchaos, we are going to give you a call so that we can continue this conversation. And we're out.
Peace.
Blog Talk Radio.